all true witches and violent playing ladybugs, and welcome to 1,000 Partying Demons, episode 9 of Flipping the Pig. I'm Brad Garoon, your favorite disembodied doghead, and with me as always is Justin Horny Crystal Elephant Houston and Kevin Tart Toter Ford. Today we're covering episodes 33 through 36 of Adventure Time, starting with Power Animal. Houston, you killed Domino's Pizza. Why don't you take us through this episode?
Yes, I did, and yes, I will. This is one where it sort of focuses on the fact that Finn is always moving. It just never stops, and Jake has the shortest attention span in the world, and how they come to a head. So the Grandmaster of the Gnomes secretly spies Finn and hears him, not secretly, but like catches him saying, yeah, his motor's always going, and he even asks him directly. He's like, could you power a huge, like, you have energy to power a huge machine? He's like, probably. And so he just sort of laughs and runs away, and Finn doesn't think anything of it. And then they kidnap in the middle of the night, and then Jake wakes up and they sort of embark on this. He embarks on this mission to try to find him, but he keeps getting really easily distracted by some nymphs, I think, and he ends up going to the Cloud Kingdom for a while.
Now this party is nuts! How did I even get up here?
You blacked out after laughing so hard at your own jokes.
All the meanwhile, Finn is getting put through these sort of rigorous tests to power this machine, and this machine is to like turn, is it to turn the world inside out or just upside down?
I think upside down.
They say upside down, but just given the anatomy of the planet, it would have to be inside out.
I sort of, as soon as they said it, yeah, my mind raced into how they think the planet works. And yeah, that wouldn't quite. So yeah, we'll say inside out is what they were going to do. So Jake finally remembers that he's supposed to be, after gaining favor with Party God, he remembers that he has to, and he gets one wish, and he remembers he's got to help Finn. So he gets filled with the energy of 1,000 partying demons, show title, and he ends up just flying through stuff and destroying everything. And he gets to Finn, and he just, like, messes up all the gnomes, and he looks crazy. And then he's dancing, and he destroys everything in the lair, and he beats up the leader guy, and then he asks if Finn's okay, and he's like, yeah. And then they go, both resolved to go eat Cinnamon Bun.
Who's introduced in this episode?
Yes.
Yeah, well, he's, I think this is his first, I don't know if he's introduced, because I feel like he was in the first episode.
Was he mentioned in the first episode?
He does, because he's, remember, he does that cartwheel. He tries to do a cartwheel when he just
crashes.
Oh,
you're right.
And what's kind of freaky to think about is in that, and this doesn't mean anything if this is the point that people are caught up to, but people that have watched, you know, ahead season 2, 3, and 4, he had green eyes, and green eyes become important later, and this has never been referenced in anything, but he's since been drawn with, like, just, you know, dark black eyes. But this is sort of a better example of the character. And this whole block is actually a bunch of good, hilarious Cinnamon Bun stuff. So, yeah, this is the sort of the best example of his behavior and his goofiness initially. But I really like this episode, but it's one I forget about all the time.
When was Cinnamon Bun? When did he have green eyes? In this episode or in Slumber Party Panic?
Slumber Party Panic.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, I'm looking at pictures now. But, you know, I think I just Googled it, and there's a JPEG of Cinnamon Bun in two different positions, like from two different episodes, and it says, their eyes are different. Very dramatic text. Yes.
So I think it was just drawn different. It's really just the decision that was made there. I mean, green eyes becomes important later, but again.
Well, also Cinnamon Bun's dead eyes become important later too, and green eyes are important with a different character.
Right. Well, with several characters, but again, we'll get into that later. But yeah, the dead eyeness, they actually explain in a couple episodes from now, which we'll get into here in a little bit, why he is the way he is.
So Kevin, did you like the episode?
Yeah, I thought it was really funny. Again, and I couldn't help but think of Jake as Justin just doing a lot of these, like when he's shoving ice cream into a toaster for some reason twice.
Twice, exactly.
That I thought was the best part. Like, I thought it was funny that he was doing that, but then like seconds later, he's just doing it again, getting so easily distracted. Things like where Jake's gut punches himself to wake him up out of hunger. When he says he's going to go and search for Finn, but he ends up just sitting on the front stoop eating a sandwich and yelling for Finn. I like the party wolf stuff. And of course, the ending line of "Let's go eat cinnamon bun." All just a good, really humorous package.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty good. I watched it a little bit inebriated, but even so, I have this very distinct image of Jake as a thousand demon energy possessed creature flying through the sky and landing fortuitously. Well, not fortuitously. I guess he wished to save Finn, so. But landing in the gnome, the upside downiverse. What was the place called? The underverse? The underworld?
It was the beneathiverse.
The beneathiverse, and the machine was called something like the upside downatron.
The upturn over, the upturn overdrive.
Yeah. Wow, you guys are good. Did you look that up?
Yeah.
Okay, that makes me feel better.
Yeah.
I feel very good about that. But I like this episode. I like it introduces Party God. It also, I'll back up a little bit and say it brings back Cinnamon Bun in a significant enough way. And it introduces Simon the Ladybug, who has at least one other appearance after this that we'll also talk about today. But speaking of bugs, a bunch of crystal beings come out of a different dimension, and Bug, Finn, and Jake in Crystals Have Power, in which we get the triumphant return of Tree Trunks, who Jake insists in the beginning of the episode is dead after having exploded, after having eaten her crystal apple. He also accidentally beats Finn up a little too hard while they're roughhousing, having a tough guy competition, and vows never to hurt anyone ever again, also after having had a flashback about his dad and brother, his beating up his brother and his dad telling him that it was good to hurt everyone. Finn gets sucked into a crystal universe, and the crystal creatures start turning him into a crystal king for the crystal queen. Jake follows Finn and tries to save him using controlled conversation and then controlled aggression, neither of which work. They meet the crystal queen, who turns out to be a transformed Tree Trunks. She beats up Jake, and he has a dream about his brother saying that he's not dead, and I don't think Jake really thought he was dead. He was concerned because his father Joshua is dead, but his brother Jermaine is alive. Oh, all their names start with J. And Jermaine says that he's fine and he's happy, and Dad says, "You have to let me finish my thoughts. I didn't want you to hurt everyone. I wanted you to hurt everyone evil." So Jake finally gets his groove back, beats up Tree Trunks to the point that she spits out the crystal apple. Finn miraculously stops being crystallized, and Tree Trunks professes her love for Finn. Finn gets awkward, but in the end, it's all good because they get apple pies in the oven. Tell me, can you taste the lovin'?
It's apple pie time.
Finn, when we get home, it's apple pie time.
Oh! I really enjoyed it. I thought it was really cool how they brought back Tree Trunks. And when you guys mentioned that she was going to be back, I wondered exactly how they were going to do it. And this was just a fun way to do things. And I thought it was another good episode, and looking into Jake's past and him conquering that. Anytime they kind of go to that character's past, either Jake or Finn, and we learn something about him, they're able to conquer, overcome something, I always think is a really cool thing. So I like this.
I thought it was interesting that two episodes in a row were about Jake having existential issues and having to overcome them to save Finn.
Yeah, that's kind of the reason I don't like this episode very much, is that they do that a lot. It's an easy sort of template to use on a TV show like this, where a character resolves to be completely different than he normally is, spends the whole episode fighting that urge before finally just embracing what he was before and moving on with his life. Where I feel like, I don't know, the payoff here or his journey there is just, it's not as enjoyable as other ones. It's sort of just frustrating because you know he's going to get to that point, or he's going to get resolved to, you know, save him somehow, or just go back to being, you know, his violent self. And I don't know, I feel like it just takes a while to get there. So I don't dislike it. It's just, it's not one of my favorites.
I also really like Jake's dad's voice.
Same here. You get more of him, like you get long pieces of dialogue with him in later episodes where it's just him either explaining something or just like narrating. And it's always really, really good. And just a very unique voice in a way he speaks to.
Well, speaking of unique voices, the Royal Tart Toter has a very unique voice, which I'll get into later in the show. But he is I'm going to let you do this one, Kevin.
All right. So this episode, The Other Tarts. We start off and Princess Bubblegum is telling us about something called the Royal Tart, which is only eaten at the royal back-rubbing ceremonies. And she's in charge of bringing these delicious treats to the ceremony, and she'll be decapitated if the tarts don't make it to the ceremony. And she only trusts a character called the Royal Tart Toter to bring all of the tarts to the ceremony. But he's out of action for some reason. I don't remember the reason they gave. Do either of
you? He's old and crazy.
That's right, which we will find out later. So Finn and Jake volunteer to take these royal tarts, and she accepts. So she takes them to the production place where they're making all of them, and she puts a bunch of these tarts in an anti-gravity tote and hands them off to them to go take. And I guess Cinnamon Bun was on call to take them at first, but she let Finn and Jake do it. So for whatever reason, if Finn decides to fill yet another one of these anti-gravity tote chambers with some of the imperfect royal tarts that they were creating, and he also douses them with paralyzing potion. So Jake and Finn decide to go off course from the map that they were given, which was a necklace that Finn is wearing where Princess Bubblegum to check in on them, to go through the Desert of Doom. And through the Desert of Doom, they make their way through a campfire of hobos who end up stealing some of the tarts. They get into this cave of guys who are bothering them. I'm going to put that as nicely as I can. And they steal a few, but they're able to escape the cave. And then a butterfly flies off with the container, the chamber that they have, with the rest of them. So now they are toteless, they are tartless, and they need to make their way to the castle to explain themselves away so they will not decapitate Princess Bubblegum for their mistake. So they make it, they show up, and they think that she's about to get her head cut off, but it turns out they're just cutting a tart in half. Then they realize that Cinnamon Bun is there, and they think, oh crap, they're going about to eat the paralyzed tarts, or the tarts that will paralyze them. And as it turns out, Cinnamon Bun actually had the correct tarts, and the ones that Finn and Jake had were the ones with the paralyzing potion. So we get a nice shot of the butterfly paralyzed midair falling to the ground. And then, as it turns out, the royal tartoter shows up. He has a dead animal. I think it's like a squirrel and a fox at the end of each of his hands. And he leaves us with a very weird soliloquy-type speech thing.
This cosmic dance of bursting decadence and withheld permissions twists all our arms collectively, but if sweetness can win, and it can, then I'll still be here tomorrow to high-five you yesterday, my friend. Peace.
As he travels through the cosmos of food to end the episode, and for some reason in the cosmos of food, LSP was there, and she gets to hold on to a space donut. So
I've always wanted to high-five a guy tomorrow, yesterday. So the Royal Tartoter is making that available.
And okay. He is truly crazy. I mean, we get to see – a lot of times they'll just reference a character's craziness, but they just went out and – is it supposed to be like an old hippie type thing, or like an old drug user? Like his mind's been sort of addled across the for years and years, or is he just crazy?
I think it's post-traumatic stress, because when they show his photo of him in his prime, he looks like a hero. Like he's standing strong, and I think he's war weary.
Ah, okay. That makes sense.
What do you think of the episode, Justin?
I liked it. I love this one, actually. It's just a lot of Finn just having bad ideas, which it's kind of crazy that he's the one that he got the tart switched. He's the one that packaged them. Like he like shoved them all into like the okay ones, like the defective ones, into the anti-gravity chamber and poured the liquid and put it down. And he's the one that confused the two.
There's a continuity error in the episode. Because I think you actually see the anti-gravity chamber that he put the paralyzing potion into directly onto Cinnamon Bun's back.
There's a cut. It feels like you just see – I went back because I was like, wait a minute. I always remember this as Princess Bubblegum says, oh, and here's the decoy one, and sends what Cinnamon Bun on his way. So no, not in this case. He packages it, and there's a cut to him pouring, and then a cut immediately to him putting it on his back. So conceivably, at some point, maybe he went to take a leak. I don't know. He came back, got confused, and stuck it on Cinnamon Bun. So it felt like a continuity error to me, but it was really strange. It's also – there was a very odd Lumpy Space Princess cameo in this.
Kevin already said that, man.
Yeah. I thought that was really weird, because they stressed in The Trouble in Lumpy Space that, like, don't jump off into space. Like, you'll just keep on floating away, and something about that Lumpy Space Princess just floating and staring was very –
she's not even having – she's just expressionless standing there, then just grabs onto a donut.
She ends up in strange places a lot of the time.
Yeah, I mean, the next episode, we'll see that as well.
Right, but before we get to the next episode, I do need to point out that something very important was said about Cinnamon Bun in this episode. The reason Princess Bubblegum didn't want him taking the tarts to the royal back rubbing ceremony was because he's half baked. And that explains, in her view, why he is the way he is. And 4 years later, they finally resolve that one-off line, that, like, you know, almost throwaway line.
Yeah, see, I was like, oh, I get it, because pastries and baking, you know.
Right.
No, it's like an actual thing that was, but that's the fun of the show, I guess.
Right. It's like, it may have at one point never been planned to be resolved, but it does eventually come back around.
Yeah, and become, you know, a part of the character. Very recent events. For where we are in the series, which the newest episode was called Bad Timing. So that's where we are.
Did you see that episode, Justin?
Yeah.
I just watched it. So weird.
If you don't watch True Detective, you're going to lose a little bit of it.
Oh, is it a True Detective thing?
No, it's not. But the framing, this was a very unique episode, not to get into like heavy spoilers or whatever, but this was a unique episode with a unique perspective. You only saw the episode from a circle that was in the middle of the screen, and everything else was this sort of floating ether outside of it. And, you know, obviously they have to do these way, way before. I'm assuming that they do. But it felt a lot like a common theme that goes on in True Detective, where the central character, Russ Cole, feels like a person trapped in a TV show.
Got it. Kevin, you're going to love the episode that aired on Monday.
Yep.
I'm excited.
Well, I like this episode a lot because I think it's good. There was a lot at stake. It showed that Finn, that he really, really cares about Princess Bubblegum, and that he's still way too ADD, energetic, and nuts to be of any use to her whatsoever.
It's also creepy the way that when he kind of gets down on one knee and talks about, I mean, that's not the creepy part, where he says, you know, I'm here to defend you because I care about you. But he's like running her hand across his face as he says it. And it was very, very odd seeing him do that. This episode also had my favorite character name. It was a Maria Bamford character, Butterfly with Laser Gun.
That's a good one. But I like Grimble. Grimble's good. I think his name's Grimble. Might be Grindle. But speaking of Finn being really weird around Princess Bubblegum, he has trouble with a lot of princesses in To Cut a Woman's Hair, in which he and Jake run afoul of a tree witch. The tree witch sits on Jake. Oh, she has a bald spot. BT dubs. She sits on Jake and holds him hostage, threatening to suck him into her bottomless bottom, which is horrifying, until Finn brings her some princess hair to cover her bald spot. But because she's vain and doesn't want anyone to know that she has a balding problem, Finn cannot tell any of the princesses why he needs a lock of their hair. So he goes and sees Muscles Princess, and that doesn't work out for him at all. He gets his ass beat. He goes to see Beautiful Princess, or Princess Beautiful, only to find out after releasing her from her tomb that she died of baldness. Finally, he realizes that princesses all... he goes to see Lumpy Space Princess, and she's homeless now. He notices that she has some hair, although she says that those are just her lumps.
Well, if you want these lumps, you gotta put a ring on it!
And both Muscles Princess and Lumpy Space Princess assume that Finn loves them, and that's why he wants a lock of their hair. So, since Finn secretly loves Princess Bubblegum, Jake calls him out for that earlier in the episode, he decides to take Jake's dating advice, which Jake has a lot of because he's secretly JT Dogzone, probably, and invites Princess Bubblegum to a spaghetti dinner, forces her to put it in her mouth, and then asks her for a piece of her hair, which she gives him. But her hair is bubblegum, and the tree witch doesn't want gum for hair, though she does want it for gum. In the end, Finn decides that he'll do whatever it takes to save Jake, so he reveals that he has, for the last 12 years of his life, which is his entire life, never cut his hair, and he has beautiful blonde lock. He cuts it all off and gives it to the tree witch. And though she wants to do evil with her evil new hair, she doesn't know how to maneuver the hair, and she cracks a branch after tripping over it. The end. Kevin, what'd you think?
I thought all the episode was all right. It opening up with Finn feeding birds with chewed up apples was really gross.
He's a hero, man.
He is a hero, despite just not wanting to see that. Yeah, it was interesting. Obviously, I cheered for Lumpy Space Princess, even though now technically she's homeless.
Well done.
And I was wondering when we were going to get to the reveal of Finn and all of his glorious long blonde hair, and we finally got it. So,
did you know about it from like a picture?
Yeah, actually, I knew about it because I had seen GIFs or pictures of it online. But the Blu-rays that I have slipcovers on them. Mm. So, like for example, like this season 2 one is the Ice King, And when you take off the slipcover, the picture underneath is him when he shaved as the Nice King.
Okay.
And so the first season one is Finn. When you take it off, it's like the slipcover is his hat and all that. When you take it off, it's a picture of him with all his long blonde hair. So I actually kind of spoil it for you a season before if you're watching it that way. Yeah, so I did know that. It was good. It was a good episode.
Yeah, I think this one actually starts a long drought of lumpy space princessness, unfortunately.
No!
Yeah, I don't think she comes back.
That's not right. She's in an episode, like, one episode from now.
Really?
The episode where Finn is smart.
She's in that one? Well, the next one is – well, that's – it doesn't matter what the next one is, but – okay, I'll take your word for it. I don't remember her being in that one very much.
Isn't that where she, isn't that with a talent show?
Yeah, that's the one that I was thinking of. I didn't – for whatever reason, I thought there was a long block where she wasn't in a bunch. And I know for a fact that the reason she's in the forest is not explained for a season.
Right. They get to that much later. But, right. But Justin, I'm just going to give a little teaser because –
these lumps.
Isn't that in the episode where Finn gets the glasses?
Oh, man.
It's not. That's in one of the five short Grables episodes. Yeah, I'm so dumb.
That's right.
Oh, just murder my face. I'm so bad at this show. Oh, God. Just let me get sucked into the bottomless bottom of a tree witch. Terrible, kid. Anyway.
This is the worst news I could have possibly heard.
Lumpy Space Princess is about to disappear for a while. And it's because she's homeless, I'm going to go ahead and say.
Could I take a sabbatical from the show and leave with her and then come back when she comes back?
But, Kevin, if you did that, how would we ever get to the bottom of the hashtag snail search?
You make a good point. All right, so let's go into this batch of episodes. Power Animal. When he encounters those two mermaid nymphs that are hanging out by that lake, the snails hanging out, which what appears to be like a broken tree on top of a rock. And crystals have powers when the crystal begins to glow and those crystal guys come out. Right when it begins to glow, if you look under the end table by the couch, the snail is under there. On the other tarts, when Jake and Finn arrive at the castle and they wave hello to Cinnamon Bun, the snail's on the windowsill, and that's when they basically realize that Princess Bubblegum and them are about to eat the poison tarts. And then the best one of this block, I think, was in To Cut a Woman's Hair when Finn is digging up the beautiful princess's grave. The first batch of the dirt that he throws, you see the snail's arm sticking out of it waving. And that's where that is in this episode. That's all you see? Just the arm?
So that's happened before, hasn't it?
You've seen the shell before, but never just like the little arm.
Wait. So wait. You're talking about To Cut a Woman's Hair?
Yeah.
You only saw his arm?
Yes.
No, I saw the whole thing.
Oh, there. Snap.
I where? Actually found him in the scene that you're talking about. It cuts for a second. He opens up and screams, and it was sitting next to him waving.
When?
To Cut a Woman's Hair.
No, I understand. But like, so he opens the grave and then she says, hi, Finn. And Finn screams.
He goes, blah. And it cuts. There's a quick cut in there where you see the entire snail.
Really?
This was the first one I actually remember too. And I almost like screamed in response because this was the first time I'd ever watched it and went, oh, the snail. I think it's because I watched one before and kind of it had time to sink in. Hey, why don't you actually look for the snail, you idiot? So and I'm going through the episode. It just sort of jumps out at you. So I kind of felt like it just went, bah! And yeah, it was the whole snail.
I'll have to watch it again. Well, I wonder what the heck little arm thing was in the dirt.
I don't know. I have no idea. I feel like looking it up now to be sure, but
I'm looking it up right now.
Yeah. And I actually did. I did see it in the other tarts in the background as well as I was actually just watching it. So,
oh, snap. Justin's right.
Ah, fudge. Thunder fudge.
I'm looking at this snail in full. Right behind Finn as he screams because he sees Princess Beautiful.
I think that's a shame because I think I probably saw the arm and figure, well, that's it, and then just kind of tuned that part of it out.
Yeah, I can't see it without like flipping some sort of imaginary switch, like the snail switch. And otherwise, I'm just like looking at facial expressions and stuff like that, never the background.
You know what this means? Kevin didn't really find the snail in an episode.
I don't like this.
I dominate this game. You understand? I dominate it.
Well, speaking of games, a game I like to play is finding out who the important guest voices are in these episodes. And I have decided to officially take Maria Bamford and Steve Little out of the running because they are at the very least, frequent guests, not special guests. So there are two big ones in this batch. Pee-wee Herman is the lead gnome in whatever that episode's called,
Power Animal.
Power Animal. And Stephen Root is both the Royal Toter and one of the vagrants, Grimble, the guy with the jetpack, in the desert. So those are two pretty cool ones. The Tree Witch is also someone who has never, to my knowledge, done a voice on Adventure Time before. He's an artist slash blah, 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 but he's also employed by the show, so I'm not going to count him.
Stephen Root's the, I believe you have my stapler guy from Office Space, right?
That's correct.
Thought so.
Amongst other characters. I know him best as Bill Dotrieve.
Yeah. Bill Dotrieve? Really? I know him best as the dude from News Radio.
Oh, man. It's that one show that now I'm sort of immune to sitcoms being on at 2 in the afternoon on a Sunday. But News Radio comes on and I'm done. I got to like sit and watch the whole ridiculous
episode.
It's
a very good show.
Yeah, it's a great show.
It's awesome.
Sitcoms are usually terrible and News Radio is quite good.
Definitely.
Justin, remember last week when you didn't do your Twitter voice?
Yes.
Can you bring the Twitter voice back?
I don't know if I can muster the courage to bring it back, but I will attempt to. Should I plug my Twitter now?
Yeah.
Or later?
No.
I will plug my Twitter now. All right. You do not have to yell. Twitter. My name is Justin J. Houston. It is also the location with which you can tweet to me. I have a new column on PW Ponderings. It's called Rub Raw. It's a reference to Dick Rash, and it's also a WWE column. Please go enjoy it. Kevin?
You can follow me on Twitter at KFord13. Also, be sure to be following at PW Ponderings on Twitter. That is the website that hosts this very podcast. You can find it on pwponderings.com or subscribe to it on iTunes. It is posted on pwponderings.com every Monday. But if you subscribe on iTunes or Stitcher Radio, you get it a day early on Sunday. And if you search for PWP Podcast, it should pop up there.
I can be found on Twitter at GaroonGate. One of my tweets was favorited by Randy Zuckerberg today. So that's pretty cool. You guys know who she is, right?
Yeah.
Is she related to Mark Zuckerberg?
I saw the tweet, so.
Yeah, it's his sister. She's like a big muckety-muck now because of him. She got hot. But, like, she's one of these people who, like, Dylan. Do you guys know who Dylan Lauren is? Dylan Loren?
No.
No.
She's Ralph Lauren's daughter, and she owns Dylan's Candy Shop, which is, like, a massive, massive candy shop in New York City.
Okay.
And, you know, that obviously was able to happen for her because of who her dad is. And, you know, Randy Zuckerberg does really nice things for people, and she does good work that people care about. And now she's going to be in Rock of Ages, and she sang at this event that I saw her at, this conference. But, like, none of that would have ever happened for her if her brother didn't make Facebook. So it all feels a little weird. And the fact that she sang, it's like, this thing's not a – I have a lot of – that's for a different podcast, not for this podcast. You can also find me at Burger Weekly if you like burgers. If you don't like burgers, you're an idiot. And you can find this show at DG Cool Kids Table, maybe. You can find it there. You might not find anything new there, but hopefully you will. So please check it out and follow it. And when you're done doing that, I just want to thank you for flooping the pig.
I flooped the pig.
So, speaking of violin playing bugs, something that really bugs... Wait, did I already do that one?
I don't know. She'll be decapitated if the tarts... We'll try that again.